Hey, church, yeah, it's amazing what God has done in 12 months, isn't it? When you look back and see what God is doing through this body. And we're just going to finish off with 10 minutes, around 10 minutes, just looking at his word, but also looking at what we feel, what is coming up ahead for Crossways Church. And we as an eldership are getting particularly excited about what we feel God is calling us to and what God is wanting to do in us and through us. And part of that stems from a time that Harvey, Doug, and I were away. We were away with church leaders from various churches on the Insamar body and on the Transkei. And Doug and I shared a room together, and up in the room was a picture. It's a picture over here that you can see of fishing boats. And I want to say a little bit more about that in a moment, about what God was saying through that picture, and particularly initially to Doug, and then actually Harvey and I caught the vision and caught what it was saying to us as a church. So from now on is what I want to speak about, what's coming up in the future. And so won't you just do something different today? We're going to stand on our feet, and we're going to read the word together, just standing in reverence for God's word. And so we're reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Let's listen to these words and then a really short message and just a little bit of insight into what we feel God is saying. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, that was Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But your word, I will let down the nets." And then, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Amen. Let's take a seat. So we were at the Transkei, and there was this picture of what looks like a place called like Paternoster. I don't know how many of you know the west coast of South Africa. You've been there. It's rugged, it's beautiful, and what you find there, these little fishing villages like this one in the picture, where these white buildings, they whitewash their buildings over there, they're very, very beautiful, and you have these dramatic drops near the ocean with these big boulders, and then you see these beautiful colored fishing boats, or each of them a little bit different. And so the picture that was coming through to us is that it was a picture of our church, which is both encouraging and exhorting at the same time. And the encouragement is this, that we're a colorful group of people, that we're colorful together with the Lord, and that we have potential to go and do great things for the Lord as a group together. But this is what the Lord is saying. Why the boats on the land? Why the boats on the land? The boats should be out on the water fishing. That's where the boats need to be. Crossways, that's where I want you to be. I want you to be out on the water like these boats in front of me here. These boats are no good here on dry land. They need to be out in the water. And the fishing nets need to be in the water too. So here, how do we do that? How do we do that with the Lord? I believe in the scripture that we read that there's the highlight of that whole scripture is when Jesus calls Peter and his friends. And they come and follow him. And he says to them, "And from now on, you will catch men." That's the highlight, right? But everything that precedes that, the metaphor, the analogy, the story, is a bit of a how as well. So what does Jesus teach us about the how of fishing? And the first one is to be prepared. Good fishermen and fisherwomen prepare their nets. What were the disciples doing when Jesus came across them? So Jesus being crowded in on the shore, right? He's being crowded in, and he feels he needs to get a bit of distance from the people so he can actually present his teaching and he can teach the people. But what are the fishermen doing at that time? It said they were preparing or washing their nets, right? So it's good fishermen. And had they caught anything? Nothing. All right. I think I would have thrown my nets in the water and gone sulking home, but they were good fishermen. They prepared their nets. They were preparing for the next day when, even though they caught nothing, they were like, we're still going to believe we're going to catch. We still believe we're going to catch. We still believe it's going to come. And we need to have that attitude as a church, that the time is coming. The time will come when we're going to get a big harvest for the Lord. When we're going to catch for the Lord. And so we need to be preparing our nets. And here's the cool thing that was happening in the background. While they're washing their nets, what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing? He's teaching the people, right? He asks Simon, "Simon, can I use your boat?" He goes out as well, and he starts to teach the people while they had been preparing their nets. So what is that? They are secondhand almost. While they're preparing their nets, they're getting washed in the word. They're getting taught by the word. And so while they are preparing their nets, it's the word that's preparing them. Unbeknownst to them, God is already preparing them for what is about to come. And so we need to be prepared by the word. We need to be prepared by the word of God for the big catch. From the time that Jesus began to preach, it says in Matthew 4:17, he was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the same story, but in Matthew's gospel, and this tells you what Jesus was saying. He was teaching about the kingdom and the kingdom of heaven, and he was teaching them to get their hearts ready. And get your hearts ready for the catch. Our hearts need to be ready for this big haul of fish. And what happens with Peter ultimately? Ultimately, it's not just that he was being washed in the word. It was an incredible experience of Jesus. And so we don't need just the knowledge of God. We need the experience of God. When knowledge meets experience, you have an explosion of potential. Right here in our church, we try our best to preach the word as best as we can, so that we can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But that's not enough. We need something else. We need the experience of the Lord as well. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. The very day that the Holy Spirit came and fell on the disciples. And from that time on, the world has never been the same. And we want that same experience. We want the Holy Spirit to touch us and move us so that we can do the mission of God. When we are immersed in God's word, we have the knowledge of him. But when we are immersed in his presence, we have the experience of him. It's the knowledge and the word that we need. And why do we need it? For this reason. For this reason. This is why. This is why we must be ready for the catch. Because in 1 John 4:10 it says, "In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Folks, it's not that we love God first. He loved you first. He loved me first. And so our only response is to love him back. Our only response from there is to love him back. And so the call to love others and to reach the nations and to touch people and to draw people in is because we are loved. Because we were loved first. In Ephesians it says, when you were dead in your sins and transgressions, when you were utterly dead, God loved you and he called you. Not for any other reason, but so that you could be loved and so that you could love others. Because you're an object of his love, then be an object of the love of God in the world and show people in the world God's love. The second thing of three is put out. All right, we don't like to be put out, right? Who likes to be put out here? Jesus says put out in the scripture. Do you know that? He says here, and when he finished speaking to Simon, he said, put out. Okay, put yourself out. Put out into the where? Into the deep. I was death scrolling on YouTube the other day, surfing videos, and I came across a video of two South Coast guys, typical South Coast guys, in their baggies, getting into their two-seater airplane, going to look at the sardine run. And so they're flying over some of my best fishing surfing spots. Scottsbrough, Greenpoint, Happy Wanderers, High Rocks. It's down by Kumasi. And so they are flying along there, and they're these sardines, right? And the sardines are on the back line, and they're all just a huge, almost looks like an oil slick of sardines. And they were coming really close to the shore, but they were just a bit out of reach. And one of the comments was, why are people not netting? Like, yeah, the sardines, they're here. And at Scottsbrough, they'd actually come into the little bay, but they were probably just a little bit of out of reach for them to actually go and, these are cast nets or hand nets, a little bit too far out to get a hand net or a crate, as you sometimes see. I don't know if you've seen the sardine run, but people will run down, they'll get their crates, they'll come and they'll throw the fish out and they'll go down and get some more and go back. But they were just a bit out of reach. They were out of reach for that. You know, in this story, Jesus could have done the sardine thing and pushed all the fish to the shore, and in the shallows, they could have gone and just got their nets and just scooped them out the water. But he didn't. He didn't. He said to them, I want you to go out and put yourself out into the deep. I want you to go out where I'm telling you to go, a place where you might be uncomfortable. And the reality is we need to be uncomfortable if we're going to reach the world. It's sometimes not easy to say to a friend, where are you with the Lord? Or how's your walk going with the Lord? Or how would you like to come to church? When was the last time you invited somebody to our church? I'm putting a challenge out. When was the last time you were uncomfortable about your Christian walk? With talking to people. I preached last week, and so I was convicted by my own preach. And so I'm having a quiet time, and I told Alana about this. And so I say to the Lord, I say, Lord, okay, bring across my path, because I challenged you with compassion. Do you remember that? I said to those folks who are here, I said, I challenge you in this week. All right, not thinking about myself. I challenge you in this week to reach somebody with compassion and kindness. So I said, okay, Lord, today, bring across my path somebody who needs some compassion and kindness. So it's just before tea time at the place that I work, and I have an altercation with two staff members. And so I was like, okay, Lord, it's my role. That wasn't very kind. I don't know if I approached that well. Anyway, so I'm sure the Lord is going to use me. I'm sure the Lord will use me. So I go and I sit down at a dining room table. And I sit down. And as I usually do, I say my grace beforehand. And there's another person sitting across the table here. And I notice them. And they've been talking to others. The others leave. And as I get up from my prayer, I just say to the person, how are you doing? And she just bursts into tears, just bursts into floods of tears. And it was such a moment to minister to her, and such a moment to get close to her, and such a moment to help her with what she was going through at that moment. It was just a God moment that God gave me. That very same afternoon, I walk into a meeting early. Somebody else is preparing for the meeting. They're not going to be in the meeting. They're just preparing the minutes and stuff like that. I say, how are you doing? She bursts into tears. I was like, gee, I've got this effect on people now, Lord. and she said, you've got to help me with something. I said, okay, what can I help you with? You've got to help me with this concept of forgiveness. Because I know the walk that you have with God. And I don't have that walk, and I'm hurting. And I've got such unforgiveness in my heart. Can you help me? I was like, absolutely. I'd love to talk to you about it. About 2 days later, that lady, I sometimes do this. Alana mustn't take offense at this, but we've got this beautiful bush outside of at the end of our driveway. It's one of those, do you know that? I don't know what it's called, but that's the white one, yes. But okay, anyway, it's got a beautiful white flower. So every now and again, God says to me, pick a flower and give it to somebody. I haven't been given any flowers to men yet, babe. So so I take the flower, and sometimes I don't know it. I was like, God, just tell me who you want me to give a flower to. So it's in my office, and that same lady who asked me about the forgiveness thing, that I get out of quite a hectic meeting, and she comes in about something else, and I was just able to say, you know what, this is how God sees you, and I give her the flower. And at that moment, it was just so touching. It was the lever for her to say, can you help me with this forgiveness thing? And in that moment, because of God's word, I could say, this is what God says from his word. That love covers a multitude of sins. That's what God dropped in my heart. Love covers a multitude of sins. And she was like, it was like almost like a release, like a relief. That actually what God says is, I don't need to get back. I don't need to be upset. But actually, if I can love this person back, it'll cover the multitudes of sins and the hurt that I'm feeling. But it's uncomfortable. And we need to be prepared to get out there. We know about Moses. And Moses is very uncomfortable about going back to Egypt. And God says, now go. And I will be with your mouth and teach you what to speak. That's God's promise. And the last thing is to proclaim. Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will. Not you will maybe, but from now on, you will. You will be catching men. You will be catching men. It's a mandate. It's an instruction. It's an order from the general. It's not one that we just take lightly. It's not one that we say, well, maybe, or it's not my skill set, or whatever the excuse may be, that I don't have the words. It is from now on, you will. You will, because I am with you. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach. For necessity is laid on me, says Paul. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach Jesus to the people around me. And Romans 15:19-20, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. We have this beautiful mandate as we close to go and reach the lost, to go and save the lost, to go and reach the people out in society all of around us. And God wants to use us. And that's the exciting thing. I want us to be excited about this church. This is not, as I stand here and I exhort us, it's not condemnatory. I love you. I love you. And what I want for you is to be as excited as I am and the other elders are and the other leaders are about reaching people. Because there can be no greater call. There can be no greater excitement. At the beginning of this service when we were in worship, as I close, I had a strong sense that there's somebody in here who's been called to speak in their workspace, particularly their workspace or somewhere in society, and to tell people about Jesus, but you're holding back. And God is saying, do not hold back. I am with you. I will give you the words and the opportunities, and I will use you for my glory alone, because it's only about him. It's all about Jesus. That's what we want to be. Won't you, if this resonates with you, won't you, if you want to be mandated, if you want to be appointed, if you want to be a Peter in the world, if you want God to give you the words and to bring many to salvation, won't you stand on your feet with me now and let's pray for God to anoint us with the power of his word. Lord, we want to thank you that you give us purpose, a living purpose, life purpose. And that purpose is to go in and seek and save the lost and to bring them to the Savior. We want to thank you first and foremost that you have saved us from our darkness. Give us broken hearts for those who are broken. Give us broken hearts for those who are lost. Give us hearts of compassion, hearts of gentleness and love, just like you've had for us. And Lord, use us. Put us out into the deep. Help us to be brave and courageous, to go into spaces where we are not used to go to the spaces you're calling us to. And just like Peter, when you called him, just like Peter, to say, because you said, Lord, because you said, I will. because you said I will. Give us the courage, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give us the words to proclaim. Give us words of scripture. Help us to preach your word in both words and actions. May our actions and our words preach the gospel to this broken and dying world. And Father, we pray that you would spread the Crossways nets wide. Use us, Lord. Prompt us, Lord. I pray for everyone in this building right now that you would give them a vision of something that you want them to do. For all the things that we've celebrated in the last year, Lord, I pray that there's maybe people here who would like to be involved in teaching the children, or people here who would like to do street ministry, or people here who would like to serve the tea and coffee because they know that this place, Lord, this place is a place that you reach people. So may we be a reaching congregation. May we be a sent congregation. God, fill us with your power and by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen.